2 Peter chapter 2, we're going to commence reading with verse 1 of chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Verse 17. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Going to make as many comments here as I will when we get into the slide presentation shortly. I think this is the third time since we have arrived in Australia that, is that right, Brother Sid, the third time maybe that we've been asked to share in a meeting of this nature. When we came here, I had no idea what kind of meetings people were interested in, just straight Bible messages on discipline and growing in grace, on being saved and following the Lord through to the end. And I'm happy to come and speak to you regarding what I know on this subject. First, I want to go back and lightly touch on when my interest was fired or ignited regarding this matter of the World Council of Churches and certain national church councils. It occurred here in Australia. About 10 years ago, I was standing on a street corner one Saturday morning. This was back when we had Vietnam, before Washington, of course, gave it to the communists after they butchered about 50,000 of our boys and so many of yours. And, of course, they gave it to them, as you should know, probably do know. And standing on a street in Rockhampton, Queensland, I saw something that did not multiply out as 2 and 2 being 4. The Queensland branch, this is a quotation of the Communist Party, they were having a march. It was a moratorium, flexing their muscles, rattling their sabers, showing their fangs, letting their red spittle run down their dirty faces regarding whether or not we should be in Vietnam and how we should get out. And of course they won, obviously, in time too. And as their stooges and cronies and cell leaders were marching down the street, I watched them from the opposite side of the main street. And the thing that impressed me so hard was that I saw some clergymen marching in this demonstration. Now, I'd seen them before, but, you know, we see things, then we see things. And I saw some fellows, they had their collars on backwards, their shirts on backwards, they were all diked out and all the proper paraphernalia, they say. And one of the things that hit me so hard, I noticed one of these fellows, a pastor at that time in a leading church in Rockhampton, and he was marching with the Bible under his right arm, and with his left hand he was carrying the red flag of violent revolution stained with the blood of millions and millions. With that five-pointed star that Lenin said shall shine over the continent and the hammer and sickle on it. And I saw it, really, and it reached me. And I saw a contradiction. Here's a fellow claiming to be a man of the cloth, representing God and the Bible and truth, and yet here he is walking two different directions at the same time. Probably you can do that if you have a split personality. No doubt he had one. A split anatomy, too. But this fellow going two directions at the same time. Carrying the Bible in one hand, the dress of a clergy stretched about his neck on the other hand, and marching with the sworn enemies of everything that he's supposed to have been called to preach and to fight and to stand for. Now, that was my introduction into a real investigation into this thing, as far as we could go. And then, of course, in the latter portion of 1970, we left Australia, as God called us, and we shifted over to the land of South Africa. And after being in South Africa for 2 years, we had an invitation to begin work with a anti-communist Christian organization, an independent, autonomous organization operating from where their headquarters then were in Johannesburg, but they moved their headquarters elsewhere. We became deeply involved in it. While we were in South Africa, we saw our neighboring nation on the east coast, Mozambique, fall 8 hours one night to a red revolution. I was about 36 miles from the border in a place called Matubatuba, Zululand, when it fell, preaching a series of meetings with an American missionary. And then shortly after that, Angola, of course, with the blessing of the American Congress and the help of the Cubans and Russians, and a butcher by the name of Dr. Augusta Neto, and a smiling, bearded, cigar-smoking renegade by the name of Fidel Castro. Angola fell after a bloodbath of a so-called civil war. Of course, all it was a communist revolutionary takeover with other tags and titles on it. And then, of course, in time, Ethiopia fell. One of my colleagues, whom I loved and worked with, and we worked together, and it was sweet to be in fellowship with this brother, was stood up against the wall inside the university at Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, and was shot down because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Four of our colleagues, his name is Idi. Everybody calls him Idiot. Amen. This fellow, Idiot Amen, one of our other colleagues, a fine black brother with a wife and, about eight children, was pushed out of a helicopter into Lake Victoria because he refused to renounce faith in Christ and stop his fight against this thing that basically one part of our life is given to fighting this thing this evening. So that's a little bit about my background. I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ many years ago. Now, I believe in a personal, born-again, no-soul salvation. The Bible teaches no other. Any other kind is cheap. Any other kind, you've been shunted off the main line. You folks are very religious and very dedicated to the Bible, and you're just as dedicated to God as the Muslims are, yet you don't know where you would go if you die tonight. I'm afraid you have the wrong ticket. I'm afraid you've missed the boat. You can be saved. You can know you're saved. You can enjoy being saved. You can live being saved, and you can die saved, and you can know that heaven is your home when you die. That's the kind of conversion I had when a school teacher won me to a personal saving faith of the living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ by repentance and faith toward Him in His finished work. And then we left South Africa. We had to move out for a brief period. And some months ago, we received the invitation to come to Australia. And after some time of prayer, God opened the door, and lo and behold, here we are tonight in Brisbane in this hall. In the scripture reading that I've given you, it should be pretty obvious what Peter is talking about. Now, you have to do this in Rhodesia all the time. The helicopter is bringing the wounded out, and You have to preach over helicopters all the time there, especially in Centenary. I think it should be fairly obvious to those of you who've listened to the reading from 2 Peter chapter 2 that Peter, at the very least, at the bare minimum, Peter's trying to tell us that within the ranks of true faith, within the ranks of true religious faith, there are some fellows there that are phony. I think that, look, if you're the biggest infidel in the house tonight, surely just a halfway careless reading of these verses, Peter tells us in these verses, without anybody reasonably arguing otherwise, that within the ranks of the religiously true faithful, within the ranks of those who are saved, there are some who should not be there, but they're there. And Peter describes these here as men who've crept in. Peter says they've come in privily or secretly. And Peter says they're denying the only Lord God that B-O-U-G-H-T bought them. It's the same word in Acts 20 and verse 28 where that the church was bought, B-O-U-G-H-T, translated purchased with the precious blood of Christ. And within the ranks of faith, there are those, as Jude said in verse 3, who are there, and because they are there, we have no option but to contend or militantly stand against them. And that's precisely what the whole exegesis, that's what the thrust of these passages are telling anybody. Now, if you don't even believe the Bible, just believe the natural reading of it. And the natural reading of it is that within the ranks of believers, there are some fellows there who use great swelling words. They have all kinds of reasons about charity and liberation and a program to combat racism and we must help our fellow man and all this bunkum and junk. They have all kinds of great swelling words. And with these swelling words, they make merchandise or they use gullible, uninformed, backslidden, ignorant believers regarding true motives and true purposes in Christian faith and in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The thrust of this meeting is supposed to be dealing with the World Council of Churches. I'm not going to take the usual approach that's taken. Now, I'm going to take some of it in the slide presentation, obviously, because the slide presentation is a visible, is a visual, factual presentation of holding forth to you in the form of photographs some of the victims who've been liberated by the organizations who are so nice that one leader in the World Council of Churches said they were led by Christians. You're going to see how that quote Christians, unquote, unquote is right. Liberate people by support coming probably from some of your churches through your Australian phony council of churches. I'm not going to take the average approach that's taken. There is one thing that I want to emphasize with you this evening. It's covered in the book here, Religion Red and Rotten, in chapter 10. But for some reason, everybody's so interested getting all the dope on how dirty the World Council of Churches is in areas of leadership. How apostate they are in areas of central and executive committee, of documenting all the dirty work they're doing and talking about this, I believe that the basic reason, the cardinal reason, the major reason, the paramount reason, the chief reason why we can have nothing to do with the World Council of Churches, I am convinced that this reason is overlooked, bypassed, shunned, or neglected. The basic reason. Let me put to you a question tonight and see how you might answer it. If the World Council of Churches suddenly announced that they were withdrawing all financial and material and other types of support that they don't report, incidentally, to communist organizations, leftist organizations, sodomite groups, queers, homosexuals, freaks, lesbians, airline hijackers, brother, you name it, and they support them virtually. If the World Council of Churches suddenly announced that they were going to never send another penny of support to groups such as this, then what would be your attitude toward them? Think that question out. That question's not put to us. Most of you folk here tonight, you're red-hot anti-WCC, basically because in areas they are being used, sometime more, sometime less, but regardless more or less, they're still being used by the Communist Conspiracy International. That's basically why you're opposed against them. That's basically why you'll have nothing to do with them. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to announce to you from the viewpoint of a born-again Christian who believes the Bible, this is not the basic reason for refusing to support the World Council of Churches. Now that's going to blow the mind of some of you folks because that's all you know about it. That's all you've heard. And some of you, if they stop supporting the Reds and the Communists and all these other fantastic and humanistic and socialistic and you can use all the adjectives there. If they stop supporting all these organizations, you say, good, let's start helping them then. That's what some of you would say. Folks, the first reason why we cannot give one halfpenny, one tuppence, one florin, as we used to say in the old days here in Queensland, of support to the World Council of Churches is not because they lean politically to the left, they lean morally to Sodom and Gomorrah. The first basic reason why we cannot touch the World Council of Churches is a theological reason. It is because they are apostate theologically. They are heretical. They are apostate as far as the Word of God is concerned. That's the first reason. Now, some of you who are red hot to go don't even know what I'm talking about. And you'd be the kind of sucker, if they stopped supporting the Communists tonight, you'd be shooting shooting $5 pieces into the coffers to support them again. We cannot, we dare not, we do not, we will not, as long as we have a half in each brain in our heads, we will not support any organization that's apostate from the Bible. The World Council of Churches theologically has departed from the basic major fundamentals of the historic Christian faith. It's all covered in chapter 10. Seems like everybody misses chapter 10 and gets all the other chapters. I don't know why they do that. Maybe it's indicative of the fact that they do not know that we test everything by what the Bible says first. I don't test things by what some bishop says. I don't test things by what some Anglican or Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or Uniting Clergyman says. I'm going to test things by the book that was around before they were and I was, and it'll be here when we're all gone, the infallible Word of God. Amen, brother. That's what we test things by. And this business, well, if they would just stop supporting the Communists, I'd help them. If they never gave the Reds another penny, I wouldn't help them because they call Jesus Christ a bastard. Do you hear that? Amen, brother, if you've read it. They call the man who died on the cross, they call him a half-baked, they call him a half-sun-baked illegitimate Hebrew. How's that for you? And I don't care if a man gives to the Reds or never gives to the Reds. If he calls my Lord that, he's an apostate, he's a blasphemer, possibly he's demon-possessed. I won't touch him. Here's the basic reason. Now, some of you folk are flying high for the Reds. Brother, you need to get your jets turbulent right. We don't touch them because they're apostate theologically. They've departed from the faith. They do not believe Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Oh, they leave it in the Bible, but they reinterpret it. Dr. Hans Rudi Weber, or Weber, maybe it's pronounced, is one of their, quote, experts in the quote. You know what an expert is? He's usually a drip under pressure. That's an expert. Really? You're being sarcastic. No, I'm trying to help some of you sire-pussies to break the lather of your face and smile. I hope you don't die like that. Nobody will bury you. My word. The undertaker will have to put a bag over your head. Isn't it horrible to hear what I'm saying? You know who it bothers? It bothers you apostates. It bothers you who don't believe the book. It bothers you who won't go to the Bible to check it out and see if it's in line with the basics of the Word. That's who it bothers. Down in Kerrang, we met with a group and they were battling back and forth, and these mealy-mouthed, fork-tongued clergymen leaning so far to the left, it's wonder they don't fall off the globe in the ocean down there somewhere. These knives, you know, they're so nice they stink. They're so nice, they've got all the answers to the old women and all the answers to the giggling little girls. And they say, well, this theological expert says this and this theological expert says that. I don't ever hear him saying that. Isaiah says, Jesus says, Matthew says, Mark says, Luke says. They can't say that because they've turned their backs on it. That's what's wrong with churches in Queensland, in America. That's what's wrong with churches everywhere. We check them out by the Bible. When we check them out by the Bible, they check out Neil, 00, maybe 666. That's how they check out. Folks, so that's the reason why you can't support them. They're apostate theologically. Take this same application. Now, say the third time, it's all in chapter 10. And if you want a documentation of it, buy the book and read it. It's all there. If you don't have any money, I'll give you one and read it. Take this same application and transfer it over to the church where you're, quote, fellowshipping, end of quote. Check them out by the Bible. Check them out by God's Word. How on earth people can go in and sit down in a pew and by visible bodily presence in the form of bits and pieces of cash in a collection bag continue to support religious leaders and clergymen in the pulpit who are trying to lead their flocks away? Listen, you're sharing in apostasy. You're helping apostasy. People say, well, I don't see it that way. You don't know what the Bible says then. That's the problem. It's not what I see, what I think. I'm crippled, half blind, I got pretty good ears. It's what the Bible says. It's what God says. We check them out by that. And when they don't tail out according to Scripture, we cannot support them. So the first reason, and I want to get this, I don't want you to leave here and say, boy, he sure is against the World Council Church. He sure I'm against them. I've had some experiences against them, but I can't relate and put on tape. I couldn't do it. Well, there's stooges and there's religious mafia wing. Oh, they've got them worse than the Gestapo. They've got them. Oh, you just don't know it, though. And ladies and gentlemen, hear me now. The thing stands or falls with any group, with any organization, within the religious pale as to their views and convictions. And I say again, the major basic fundamentals of God's Word. We check them out by that. Sorrily that some of you folk don't know what they are. And so far, sorrily, you take another standard to check them out, and that's a political standard. Oh, that's a good one secondarily, but it's not the best one. Good is the greatest enemy to best. And best is in the 810,677 words of the 66 books of the King James Version. I said the King James Version of the Bible for you folk here tonight. Amen. And I want to tell you, folk, we're going to get give you an introduction here in just a moment. This is the reason I don't support the WCC. That may be a new one to you, but it's not new. It's been in here ever since Paul laid his pen down and quit writing. When he said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. But reprove them, rebuke them sharply. And I come here tonight on that basis. I know they lean to the red, and we've written on this and done research for some 6 years in this stuff that's here in these condensed paperback versions. And ladies and gentlemen, it stands or falls by the Bible. When we went over into South Africa, we became deeply involved in the work. The slide presentation that we're going to screen for you tonight, first of all, we're going to show you some easy slides. Now, probably some of you have been to South Africa. Maybe some of you are from South Africa or from Rhodesia. And we're going to begin the slide presentation by showing you just a little bit of civilization over there. You know, the ecumenical movement would have everybody to believe that we're a bunch of maniacs and running around shooting black people off the street and running a slave labor camp. They never talk about what Russia's running. You know, you never hear anything like that, or Vietnam's running. It's always South Africa and Rhodesia and South Korea and Free China and maybe Chile. We hear what kind of camps they're running, but that's about it. We're going to show you a few slides showing something of South Africa, a few slides of the city, and then, of course, the animals. We've designed these slides this way. It's not good just to jump off in the atrocities. Show you a few of the animals, and then we have a few of our black people who are far removed from the borders in their kraals or villages, kraals we call them. And then we're going to shift up. We have a few maps designed with some coloring to give you information as to where we're going to take you in the border regions. Some of these slides tonight I took. Many of the slides are in black and white, because in Rhodesia now it's virtually impossible to buy colored slide material. In fact, it's virtually impossible to buy practically many of the mainline products of the Western world that hasn't gone under this embargo hammer that Rhodesia has gone under. Some of the slides we got from security, some we got from your information department, some we got from people whose names we cannot mention. Some of the slides are old, some are not old. We're going to have a question time afterwards, and then you can have a go at me if you want to and ask the things you'd like to ask and give your questions what you would like to say to us. Some of the slides are not nice. In fact, they're horrible. And I believe, though, that you should look at them. Now, I know there's some people that have a weak stomach and they can't stand things like this. We had one woman to faint in a meeting, but thank the Lord there was a doctor sitting behind her. So the Lord had a doctor there. I'm sure glad of that because I really had a mess on my hands. Somebody out on the floor cold. I was going to say, drag them out. There was a good Christian medical doctor there who was able to rescue me and her. Yeah. So if it gets a bit hard on you, maybe just bow your head. You'll hear the my words and you'll know what procedure we're following. But we should look at them. And as we go through the explanation we're going to be giving, now the atrocities that you see in these slides, remember the groups that perform these atrocities, the groups that cut these people's heads off, the group that cut this Anna's lips off, the group that cut Mr. Mabadza's ears and nose and eyes and skin off, nose and lips and skin off the top of his hands and made his wife cook it and eat it, the group that cut the chap's arms off and ripped him open, disemboweled him, as you'll see, the groups that have done this and are doing it probably even right now, all of these groups are sponsored with cash and other kind of donations from the PCR division, the Program to Combat Racism, of the branch of the World Council of Churches. Now, I know they say, well, we send our gift for humanitarian purposes, and we're going to show you what kind of humanitarian people these people are as they let loose their fury and their demonic madness, especially on thousands of innocent black people. Thank you. Shall we stand for a word of prayer, and we'll get into our slide presentation. All right. Brother Sid, lead us in prayer, please. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, do this for me. You pray and ask God to minister to your heart from the slide presentation what He wants you to have. All right. Thank you, Brother Hunter. African continent. Now, if you want to know what's going on, follow me carefully. We'll show it to you. Can we get this in focus just a little bit? Very good. Thank you. Hold it there just a moment. We're not ready to move yet. Now, on the bottom, the green is South Africa. The brown is Rhodesia. The orange is Southwest Africa. So that's Southwest Africa, South Africa, and Rhodesia. Now, if you look at this, you'll see there's a nation in red just at the top of the orange. That's Communist Angola. If you look over here to the east or left of Rhodesia, brown, and South Africa, green, you'll see another nation in red. That's Communist Mozambique. If you look at the yellow in the middle, that's Botswana. If you look at the blue, that's Zambia. If you look careful, there are tiny red X's drawn in the yellow and tiny red X's drawn in the blue. Now, those Zambia and Botswana has not completely fallen to the communists yet. Still, both the governments open their borders up and the communists have guerrilla and or terrorist training camps represented in the red X's. Now, here's what I'm trying to show you. Here we have Southwest Africa, South Africa, and Rhodesia, and they're cut off right across the top by nations that are already gone communist or opened their borders up for communist training camps. Southern Africa is surrounded on both sides and the bottom by the ocean. Now, I want you people to get it. South Africa, Southern Africa is cut off at the top and on both sides. And where will these people go when the showdown comes? Imagine you in Queensland, and the Northern Territory over there, and over here where New South Wales joins you. Imagine that all these other states are communist, and you're cut off. Nobody in the world will help you. You don't have an army big enough to guard all of your Queensland border at the same time. How will you save yourself from a communist takeover? That's what's going on with these three in Southern Africa. Thank you. That's all right, brother. I put him in upside down all the time. That's good. Here's an inset of the brown one. It'll take just a moment before we can move on for explanation. Here, can we clear that up just a bit? All right, try it. Let's see if that'll help. Good? That's it? Fine. That better? Right, here's Rhodesia, the brown. See it. Now, look at it just a moment. The green, South Africa. South Africa touches Rhodesia 100-some-odd miles here on the border. That's the only country that's friendly to Rhodesia. Now, on this side is communist Mozambique. The red X's represent military training camps. Over here is Botswana. The red X's represent communist training camps. Up at the top left is Zambia. The red X's represent communist training camps. Now, if you look, Rhodesia is completely trapped all the way around except for a little stretch of border that joins South Africa. At night, the terrorists come out of the red X's and move over into Rhodesia. They rape the women, they cut their heads off, they cut their hands off, they plant landmines, they shoot, they murder, they rape, they poison the drinking water, they shoot the cattle,
They plant time bombs. They come over into Rhodesia and do this at night. They do not have an army big enough to guard all the border simultaneously. So while the soldiers are over here, they come across and do their dirty work. When the soldiers move over here, then they come through up here. Rhodesia has been going through this hammering for almost 12 years. And ladies and gentlemen, no nation, nobody can perpetually stand up under what Rhodesia is presently standing up under. That's what's going on in Rhodesia. Thank you. Now we're going to move inside a communist training camp. Here's a very select photograph showing you what goes on inside of a, they call them guerrilla freedom fighters camp, but they're terrorist camp. They're the Viet Cong stuff. And look at the three fellows here with their backs to the camera. They have on Chinese army uniforms. The big fellow standing in the middle did an 8-year course in Russia. I guess he was learning how to feed the babies and take care of the expectant mothers, so the World Council of Churches wants us to believe. And here they are in one of these red X's giving instructions to the people about sabotage and revolution and terrorist warfare that's going on. Next. What are they doing here? Some of you old diggers tell me, what is this? Bayonet practice, that's right. Next one. Right. Here's a photograph made inside a terrorist training camp. This woman is from Cuba. You fellows in the Second World War remember Axis Sally or Tokyo Rose and her nice little broadcast she used to make to you. Well, this woman is from Cuba. She's been in the jungles of Zambia for some, well, about 8 years, broadcasting down to the Rhodesian troops and telling them all nice things about what's going on back home and how they should quit fighting and so forth. And here's a rare photograph of this Cuban military instructor with two Africans in a military training camp in Zambia. All right, they come over the borders at night. Now, if I can use a practical illustration, while you, let's say we're in a farming community, and while you're here tonight in this service, they come to your house, they'll plant a landmine where your child waits for the school bus in the morning. Here's some of the landmines. They'll plant a landmine down at the barn gate. They'll booby-trap the back door. They'll poison the drinking water. They'll put a time heat bomb on the manifold or the exhaust of your old farm truck. And when you go home tonight, if you don't step on the landmine, your little boy or girl will step on it tomorrow when they go get on the bus. When you get in the farm truck to drive to town or drive down to the barn or take care of the cattle, when the heat gets temperature enough, it explodes the bomb and you blow it into a million pieces. Here's a few anti-personnel mines, thanks to a dear friend of mine, a journalist, who made these. These were dug up in an area where black children walked to school. You fellas who were in that giveaway in Vietnam will remember this. This is a famous bouncing Betsy. This is the kind you step on and it bounces up and blows your face off and your eyes out. Here's one down here, here's one here, and there's one up there. These are the kind that you step on, they blow your legs off, your arms off, your face off, etc., etc., etc. Now remember, folks, it's the innocent people that's getting the load of this dirty work being done by organizations supported by the WCC. Well, this one's sideways. This blue has to be here, brother. One of the soldiers. This fellow stepped on one. We've covered him part up here. He's blowed to bits, okay? It's all right, Brother Blake. We're not rushing you. You're doing a good job, brother. It's all right. No, no. Just keep going. It's fine. This chap died about five or six minutes after this was made. His ribs are hanging out here. He was blown to smithereens. Andrew Young, you know, he's our loudmouth ambassador to the United Nations from Washington. And Andrew Young is always assuring the American people that the Chinese are not involved in Africa. Well, that's strange. Here's a photograph made through a window at Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. And here's Chinese getting off of a Chinese ship loaded in Chinese trucks with Chinese uniforms and Chinese suitcases. If they're not Chinese, what are they? And they're being hauled away. We're told the Chinese are not involved. If you look at this photograph, this woman is a Chinese military instructor. Her hair, her glasses, her uniform, her sweat cloth, her leggings, the striped marker used by Chinese women in military training. Here's a Chinese military instructor teaching these poor African women. The African women have very short hair over on your left. And she's training these African women how to use grenade launchers. This one's upside down, brother. Now we're going to show you some of the fruits of liberation from the hell of racism, the white man. Wait till I give you the cue on these. These fellas were shot. Here's who did the shooting right up here. These chaps were shot and then they were hung upside down in the village square. Now this becomes a lesson to all the poor African people. They're hung up in a conspicuous place in the village where they swap their pigs and chickens and sell their bits of wares and so forth. And this becomes a lesson for anybody who disobeys the regime. You see the benefits of socialism for those men hanging upside down in the village square. These little boys are marching in the streets of Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. Their uniforms are blood red, their belts are black. You know, you've got a bookshop in Brisbane called the Red and Black Bookshop. Black is the color of anarchy and red is communism. These little boys are trained anarchist communists, they say. They're marching, singing, they have wooden rifles. And one of the songs that they sung one time was, "I Hate God and Americans." It's quite a song. Sponsored by the WCC. Here's how we moved through South Africa the last time when I was there preaching. What are these fellas doing? Some of you old diggers tell me. Come on. Checking out the landmines. They're moving them out of the road. But I'll tell you what, sometimes it takes you 5 hours to travel a mile like this. And I'm glad of it, too. Let's just take our time now. I think I've got a few of them in there backwards, or we're missing a few or something. Here's a couple of nice, smiling Chinese communists. Aren't they nice? President Carter's been giving them wine and hugging them and kissing them and showing them all over America. And old Deng, and he sure got a good name. His hands are dripping with the blood of nearly 87 million people. And here's two Chinese communist diplomats in Lusaka, the capital of Zambia. Their uniforms are blood red. Their buttons are brass. Their shirts are brass. They're red. Their shoes are red. Their socks are red. The shoestrings are red. They believe in advertising what they are. They're walking through the streets one Saturday afternoon, giving the little boys and girls sweets and pieces of chewing gum. I guess the American government sent them the chewing gum. And telling everybody how nice the Chinese are and everybody loves the communists and we're going to all live happy thereafter. If you believe that, you can stand on your head. This poor fellow here was liberated by Frelimo. The World Council of Churches sent them thousands of dollars last year. They came to this man's village and they hacked both of his hands off with an axe. Axe. All right? Well, here's one of the landmines they dug up. They dug one of these up just about 6 feet of the road in front of us. This is an anti-vehicle mine. This was manufactured in Russia. Now we ask the question, where did the poor black heathen find the Russian landmine? Did they pick it out of a tree? Well, the World Council of Churches says they did. Well, who taught them how to set it? You can blow your heads off fooling with those things. So where did they get instruction? How did it get there from Russia? The answer is fairly obvious. Thank you. Here's an excellent photograph made by a dear friend of mine at Deadly Risk. After Angola, that was the one just above the orange. After Angola was, quote, liberated, end of quote, from the Portuguese imperialists. You know, the naughty boys. After Angola was liberated by the Cubans joining MPLA, Dr. Augustus Neto's Marxist organization. After the Cubans and MPLA liberated Angola, then the Cuban soldiers went to some of the Africans they had killed and took a knife, their bayonets, and they split them open and cut out human hearts. You know, heart. Cardia, it is in the Greek. The thing that pumps blood. They cut out human hearts. Then the Cubans put these hearts in jars or large containers, and they took them down to the main shopping center in Angola. And the Cuban soldiers sold human hearts to the African witch doctors. Now, the African witch doctors, listen to me now, make a thing called muti. Muti means medicine. And in their demonic occult philosophy, the African witch doctor teaches his people that if you'll bring me a human heart, I'll dry that human heart, I'll grind it up in powder, and I'll make a muti or a medicine so strong that if you'll buy a little bit of it from me, you can rub that on your body and no bullet will ever hurt you. You'll be invincible and you'll live forever and ever and ever and ever. Now listen to me now. What I'm trying to show you is that when the communists took Angola, they knew African witchcraft lore. They were familiar with it. And the communists capitalized on the ignorance of the black man, and they sold human hearts to the African witch doctors to make. Some of you have seen the photographs of Mr. Mabidza. Here's our dear brother, Mr. Mabidza. Mr. Mabidza is a saved Methodist. You know, you can be a lost Methodist like you can be a lost Baptist or a lost Roman Catholic. He's a saved Methodist. The Liberators, sponsored by the WCC, who are always led by Christians and performing humanitarian deeds, these nice men came to Mr. Mabidza's village. Mr. Mabidza's chief would not cooperate with these great humanitarian Marxist socialist liberators. You know, that's what they say they are. So these humanitarian liberators wanted to teach all the Africans in the village and Mr. Mabidza's chief a lesson that they wouldn't forget. So they threw Mr. Mabidza down there in the dust of the village, a crawl clearing, and they took pliers and they pulled his lips out as far as they could get them, and then they sawed them off with a bayonet. And then they sawed off his nose, and they sawed off his ears, and they pulled the skin up off the top of his hands, and they cut that off. And then, in some kind of demonic orgy, they made his wife cook it and eat it. Now, I have a photograph of Mrs. Mabidza, but she's naked from the waist up, and it's not good to show it. She fainted the third time around, which was a blessing of God. Now, I want all of you to look at it real good. I want you to think about it now. And listen, you go back and tell your bishop and your irreverend and all the rest of them. Listen, and get this it real good. The group that did this is sponsored by the World Council of Churches. That's human butchery. All right. Here's an old African trick. These fellows were strapped together, buried with their heads sticking out of the sand. They pour milk or honey water or sugar water, something that draws the meat ants. And of course, you're buried with your head sticking out of the ground. Remember, humanitarian socialists did this. That's what the World Council of Churches calls them, humanitarians. And these fellows were, these fellows were buried with their heads sticking out, and the ants, you can't get your hands out, they crawl in their ears and nose and eat their way through their eyes and their mouth, and they eat their brains out and they die. Now, this is not the bad thing. The bad thing is that all the members of their immediate family that they can find must watch and observe while the victims die. This group was liberated by the World Council of Churches, great, heroic, liberating organizations. This is, well, you can just, that's all right, brother, just leave it like that. You can turn your head. This fellow was a surveyor. Lenin said a soft nose bullet through the back of the nose removes possibility of facial identification. Here's a chap with his face blown off. Next one. This chap had both arms cut off. He was disemboweled with a bayonet. There was a pregnant woman. And we have one of a naked woman here. We're just going to get a glimpse of it, brother, just a minute, and then run through it. I don't want to show it too long. There was a woman back up here who was butchered up. Well, you can turn your head and see that if you want to. This fellow, we don't know who he was, what he did or anything. He has that chop on his cheek, so that means he's an informer. He was liberated from the hell of the white man, the WCC tells us. Let's get this one right, if we can. This one here. Bill, you're doing a good job there to be under pressure. This happened up at Louisville Sawmill Community some years ago. The group that's... Well, one of the freedom-fighting groups came to this village. These chaps couldn't run fast enough, so they were decapitated. They chopped their heads off, and in the next photograph, if they're in order, we see what... No, no, brother, we've got it mixed up. That one shouldn't be there. That's upside down. If we can swing it over. Thank you, brother. You're doing a good work there. After they chop their heads off, you can raise it just a bit there. We see what they do. They put them on a sharp stake out in front of a prominent place in the village. This is a bad omen to our African friends, and they'll never go back to that village again. Now this, the freedom fighters, behold, you're seeing portraits of how they liberate people from all the hell they're living under. Here's some poor chap. He was a surveyor. That's what they did. He's liberated by ZANU, Zimbabwe African National Union, the Butcher Joseph Joshua Nkomo's group. Now they're shooting the cattle of the African. These terrorists are highly sophisticated, and so they don't kill in every place. Sometimes they'll cut off a hand or a leg, and now they're shooting the cattle. Now to touch the African's wives, his children, or his cattle is more than he can bear. The African loves these, and he just can't stand it. It's too much for him. And now the communists are learning to break the spirits of our dear African people. And here's a little group of cattle that were shot. And these Africans were in turmoil. They were pitching dust in the air. They were tearing their clothes because everything they had in life was gone. They're killing the will to resist. Thank you. Well, this is a horrible sight. I've seen a couple of men beaten to death. I saw one fellow had been stoned to death. This man was beaten to death. They tied his hands with his socks and his cloth belt. You can see his rib cage here. It's good these photographs are not in color. I don't think many of us could stand them too long. This chap was just beaten to death. The group that did this, Free Limo, supported by the World Council of Churches. Here's an excellent photograph made in the communist capital city. This little boy is holding the famous AK-47 Kalashnikov Russian combat Soviet manufactured machine gun. Here's a little 14-year-old boy with a Russian machine gun. And where did he get that thing? Well, we're supposed to believe that he bought it down at the pawn shop. Amen. Here's Anna. Let me introduce you to Anna. Anna's photograph has been shown world over. The freedom fighters came to Anna's village. And when they came to Anna's village, Anna's chief wouldn't cooperate. No, you bad fella, you go. Get out. Foot sack, they tell him, which is a term used for dogs. It means to go. And this upset them. So they wanted to teach everybody in the village a lesson. Anna's not a believer, incidentally. And they threw Anna down. They took a pair of wire pliers and pulled her top lip out. And one of the soldiers sawed it off with his bayonet. Now, I want all of you women to look at Anna. All you people who are in a church supporting the World Council of Churches. Here's what one of the groups that they're supporting did to a poor heathen African woman in the name of liberation. All right, we'll get off of this one. Just move that one, all right. That woman was, she's pregnant. She was caught. She was stripped. She was raped. And when these liberators, these socialist humanists, quote unquote, when they finished with her, they poured petrol on her body and stuck a match to her. Thank you. Here's some of the weaponry. This stuff has the manufacturing marks on it, tells us where it was made. All right, next one. Just a few more and we're finished. Here's a photograph of myself with the great paramount chief. You'd call him a king. This is the great paramount chief, Charal, Jeremiah Charal. In May of this year, elections are coming in Rhodesia between Bishop Abel Muzereri, who is a leftist Methodist bishop, and this fellow, Jeremiah Charal. Jeremiah Charal is high in parliament, high in government in Rhodesia, and Muzereri and Charal, the lot will fall in their lap in May. I had about 45 minutes with Charal. I spoke to him through an interpreter, a dear man who was very sympathetic. I tried to, when you address the Africans, especially an African king or a chief, you always let them speak first. You don't go to them and say, how you going, mate? And she's right, mate. You don't do that. When you go to an African leader, you sit and let him ask the first question and make the first statement. And we begin our conversation. He asked me a question and God gave me an answer. And I had a 45-minute discussion with this fellow. Now, he knows communism is bad unless he lied to me. I don't feel that he did. I believe he knows what's on the other side of the political spectrum. And you people who love Rhodesia and you're concerned for it, you should put on your prayer list to pray for the paramount chief, Jeremiah Charal. You should pray for him. He's unsaved. Now, he loves it. He's an Indibele. He's highest man in the Indibele tribe, the second largest tribe. He loves the Indibeles. He'll fight for the Indibeles. But there's the problem that he doesn't like the Shonas, which is the first largest tribe. So please, I beg your prayers for this man who I know heard the gospel because though I may have stumbled, I told him first what was wrong with Rhodesia and what had to be straightened out first. Please remember this great man, he's an unsaved man, Paramount Chief Jeremiah Charal, remember him in your prayers. It's so critical. All right, do we have one more, brother? Yes, we'll close with this and then we'll have the lights and get back here in the stand tonight. Now here's one of the things the Reds are doing all over Africa. Here's a large communist bookstall on a street corner. They have the communist propaganda in just about any language that the Africans can read. And it's always priced very low. I know that Christians running Christian bookshops have to mark it up to make a living, but it's amazing. The communists sell, I saw Lenin's selected works. It was in four volumes, and these things were bound with hand-rubbed red leather. And they were embossed, the letters embossed gold, the spine was a hard spine, four volumes, and all four volumes sold for under $5. And you know, when I saw that, that really spoke to me. And I know we have to make a living, and I know sometimes our system pushes us on, and I'm glad it does, and competition keeps the system of free enterprise alive, and we wouldn't take anything for it. But I wonder sometime if we Christians shouldn't go just a step further. Now, somebody said the missionaries taught the Africans to read, and the communists flooding into Africa are giving them the material to read. This is certainly true. Is that all the slides we have, brother? Is that everything? All right. Thank you. We'll have our lights and get back to our stations here. Brother. All right, we're going to turn it over to you now for question time, and I'm sure that some of you have questions you want to put. If possible, we want to keep it to the issue that we're dealing with, what we've been talking about here in our introduction about why we don't support the World Council of Churches first, because they're theologically rotten and they've departed from the faith, and no believer supports anybody in the religious level when they've departed from the faith. We'll get to it in just a moment, and then you may want to ask something about the questions. Now, just one thing, we don't want any statements. This is my meeting. If you want to make a statement, you get you some handbills printed and go rent you a hall, and you can make statements for hours and hours and hours and hours. If I can answer your question, I'll try to. If I can't answer it, I'll tell you. If I think I should not answer it publicly, then I'll tell you that also. I'll repeat the question. All right, please, sir, give us your question. Your question. Sam hunts with the hares and the hounds both, brother. He hunts with the hares and the hounds both. He, the first time, of course, you know, he was in communist Hungary, Budapest, Bud on one side of the river, and the city Pest on the other side. It's a pest, all right, on the other side of the river. And Graham came back to America, and I was in a meeting in Dallas, Texas, and I saw Dr. Graham when he was giving his hour television report about the situation of believers in communist Budapest, Hungary. And his statements were along this line, that the Christians are learning to live with socialism and that we can receive lessons and instructions from their endurance and what they're learning to live with in communist countries. And Billy Graham, of course, spoke at Nairobi at the meeting for the World Council of Churches back just a few years ago when they meet about every 6 years, and he spoke at the meeting there. Now, I'm not interested in anti-Billy Graham. I'm trying to answer your questions, and we go back to this. You've got to declare yourself on one side or the other. You cannot go into the enemy's camp and come back and talking about folks are learning to live with it. If folks are learning to live with it, what do they shoot them for when they try to get out? If folks are learning to live with it, why have they got 900 miles of barbed wire, machine guns, landmines? I've been through it. Why do they shoot down in cold blood people are trying to get out of it? I guess maybe when you have a bayonet stuck in your face 24 hours a day, you have to learn to live with some things, but he didn't give us that interpretation. Thank you. Someone else. This lady is asking, does the program to combat racism, which is a wing, I think, of Justice and Service of the WCC, do they have anything for the Aboriginals? They have been giving gifts to the Aboriginals. I don't have the figures on hand. They are interested in the Aboriginals. They published a number of booklets regarding the Aboriginals, too. I have those on file at home. They have gone this far. I've been out of Australia for 9 years, and of course we've worked in South Africa, and the emphasis of my study and research has been there. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody in this group who's saved, who's conservative and fundamentalist in theology, would do research on this for Australia, especially through the eyes of the Australian Council of Churches, and you get enough research there probably to write a Britannic encyclopedia. Wouldn't it be interesting if somebody in Australia would rise up and do research and write a good documentary on these things for the Australian people from the Australian point of view? I pitch that out as a challenge tonight if we have any conservative writers here in the group. Thank you. Someone else. I'll be happy to comment on it. It's just typical ecumenical baloney and jargon and cock and bull nonsense. That's what it is. When he says they have 300 representatives that speak for them, it's strange that when they decided to give the money to the terrorist organization, the Central Committee, consisting about 126 more or less, the Executive Committee a couple of a dozen, more or less, depends on how many resign or quit, etc. And it's strange, back in 1970, when they started dishing out the large grants to communist, terrorist, socialist, and all these other named organizations, that these representatives hooted and howled about it, but they gave the money anyhow.
That's strange. So 300 represent 3 million representatives won't change them. The World Council of Churches, naturally they wouldn't say they're a super church. Do you expect them to write a book saying we're the super church? We're going to control the world. We're working with the communists and socialists to bring about world socialism, the world conspiracy. Do you expect them to print a book like that? Let's give the devil the rights for some cleverness too. Jesus said in the 16th chapter of Luke, speaking about economics in the context, that the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. That's what Christ said. And folks, here is a test that we can run on the World Council of Churches. A fellow stood in the meeting in Kerrang, a minister in the Uniting Church. And this minister got up and talked about all the good they'd been doing, and then another fellow another night too. We must look at their record. That's good. We must look at their record. The World Council of Churches started in Amsterdam in 1948. And if you look at that record from 1948 to this present, they are progressively becoming worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Every year they do more dirty work. Every year they support more murder, more anarchy, more flagrant communism and butcher. Every year they do more dirty work. And if you want to take a look at their record is a continual, progressive, growing, glowing record that's contrary and opposed to everything that's good and decent and the basic fundamentals of God's Word. Amen. That's their record. And we hear these arguments that are given to us time by time. Someone stood the other night and said, Mr. Pike, doesn't the World Council of Churches say that they give all their money for humanitarian purposes? Now this is a nice little thing. Here is a quotation from the rules whereby the program to combat racism operates. I have a copy of the minutes and everything when they set the whole mess up. And some of you people are being told in your churches by your nice little preacher that, look, all of this is going and it's for humanitarian purposes. It's to buy medicine for the wounded. It's to buy school books for the children. It's to help expectant mothers. It's to set up hospitals. And people say, oh, well, we must give to help folks like this. Now, that's what they're being told. I want to read you from the when they laid out the program to combat racism, they established 6 rules for controlling the gifts that were given. And I want to read you rule number 4. And rule number 4 reads, quote, the grants are made without control of the manner in which they are used. End of quote. And we can go on and on and on that. Did that help, preacher? Thank you. Somebody else. Text in which the World Council of Churches used it in 1968 at their meeting in Uppsala, in which James Baldwin called the Lord Jesus that. The World Council of Churches thought so much of his speech they recorded in one of their books, of which I have a copy. And in that context, he was referring to him as an illegitimate child. That's the context in which it was used, and that's the context in which I'm speaking. An illegitimate child. The spiritual realm, that's good. I could accept that application. I'm trying to stick with the context of the thing. There's a notation on this somewhere where Christ was called this, somewhere in religion, red and rotten. Oh yeah, there's a further notation in why. You get it better in why. And I was trying to speak from the context. I understand what you're saying, and that's right, I agree with that. And I'm trying to keep with the context is how they referred to Christ. This theology that they're using in calling Christ this shocking name, it goes back to a fellow called Nels F.S. Fareed, who's a Yankee lecturer. He started his blasphemy years ago and ended up in Andover Newton Theological Cemetery, I call it, in one of the northern states. And Nels F.S. Fareed wrote a book called The Sun and the Umbrella. He's one of the ecumenical leaders. And in this book, Fareed propagated the idea that maybe Mary fell pregnant with the Lord Jesus by sleeping with a German soldier whose name was Panthera. And history said Jesus was a blonde, and so Jesus had a Roman soldier. All the Romans were blonde. And the World Council of Churches has taken bits and pieces of this and rehashed it, and it comes out time by time in their speeches and address. That's what you're supporting, that. Okay, somebody else. Jews hated Christ, and in the Talmud, I have the Talmud. I have all 14 volumes of it in an English translation, and we can learn much from it. Of course, the Jews started it, the unbelieving Jews. I'm not anti-Jew. Don't get that now. Because of their hatred for the fact that Christ was virgin born. Someone else, please. Yes, the elections, well, they're trying to have elections, and I haven't heard the news now in about 6 days. They've been trying to have elections in Southwest Africa since, almost since Captain Cook came, not hardly that long, but quite a while. And the World Council of Churches is involved because the terrorist organization SWAPO, S-W-A-P-O, Southwest African People's Organization, headed by a fellow called Nama. And the WCC has continued this support. They've been supporting this organization since 1970. And they supply them with large sums of money, with literature, with medical aid, with support. And this is a terrorist organization. And Nyoma is a confessed Marxist. He says he is. And his groups continue to come over the borders. In fact, I was reading just before I left the States to come here. I received the report about, I've been here, 4 weeks now? 5, 6, 7, the report would be about 8 weeks old. How that SWAPO came through, they'd blown up one of the election booths and killed several men and women. So through this area, they are involved in having unrest and trouble in Southwest Africa. They've been supporting Southwest Africa's main so-called liberation group since 1970, which is SWAPO. And some of the photographs here tonight were the results of SWAPO liberation. Some of them were. There were two of them on there that were victims of SWAPO. Someone else, please? Like that kind of question. This man is asking, what is the best way for us to combat the World Council of Churches and their works, etc., etc., and what they're doing? First of all, I think that you people need to see if you're saved. I'm going to start where we must start, and we cannot start anywhere else. First of all, I think you need to ask yourself the question, am I a saved Christian? Now, I do not mean are you religious, are you a Baptist, or a Methodist, or a Roman Catholic. You can be that and still end up in hell. I'm asking you folks, first of all, be sure you are saved. That's first. And then after you've settled that one, then the next step is that we must get ourselves properly informed. The reason that so many good, saved people in Australia are in churches that support this thing is because I'm satisfied most of these good people are suffering from a lack of information. They do not know. Now, the problem is that when people are given this information, will they act upon it? Look, we've done research. We have the documentation. They wanted to run it through a court of law. It was read by a number of lawyers, and they said, no, leave it alone. The documentation is there. Now, it's another thing for me to stand up here and plead, and these men come and speak to you and give you document after document and after document after document, and then you refuse to obey God's Word on these issues. And God's Word tells you to get out of a group that's supporting such a thing as this. Now, here's the problem. People are not willing to get out because their grandfather is buried in the church cemetery or something else. They refuse to get out. I'll tell you, dear people, we've got to move off of sentimentalism because we're being destroyed progressively. We're being betrayed. These devils have crept in unawares. They're right in the area of faith. And it's time for every one of you people who are in a group that's supporting this thing. And I want to tell you something. I hear the old argument, like a certain Presbyterian minister wanted to make a fool out of himself the other night. He said, oh, I'm in it because it's a good fishing hole. And I'm in there and fishing. I said, give me the names and address of three fish you've caught. But you couldn't do it. And the Bible forbids for believers to share. Here's what it says. 1 Timothy 6:5. The Bible says, withdraw thyself from them. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. The Bible says in 3 John verse 11, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. The Bible says in 2 John verse 9, that if somebody comes and doesn't bring the doctrine of Christ, verse 10 and 11 says, receive him not into your home, neither bid him Godspeed. For if you bid him Godspeed, you are a partaker of their evil deeds. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, people that have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such withdraw thyself. And folk, I know most of you are not going to do it. And I know most of you are going to stay right where you are, but I'll tell you what, you're in disobedience to God's Word. And you live in disobedience, and you're going to die in disobedience. God's Word tells us to have nothing to do with them. I'm talking about in religious working and religious effort, and we cannot do it. And so, brother, Christian, you've got to be saved, we've got to get informed, and we've got to get ourselves in action and get ourselves out of this group first. But, of course, the trouble, people won't get out. Some of you folk have been gathering information on the World Council of Churches for years and years and years, and you're still in a church that supports it. You're disobedient, and God's not going to bless you. All right, somebody else.
When you say get out, when you
Oh, their place is, I can give you plenty of names and addresses after the meeting. I surely can. I can give you... Well, that all depends on what you mean by satisfaction. Now, a lot of people, you know, if you've got to cross every T and dot every I, well, you know, we'll never be satisfied. The perfect church is not here yet, and people have this degree of satisfaction, but I can give you names and addresses and introduce you to a few folks around here tonight where they're happy in a little group, and when they put their two bob pieces in the collection pot, they go to bed at night with a clear conscience, knowing, well, that won't chop a poor African's head off over in Africa. They have that peace. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Okay, right. And this, I'll just share this with you. If you're in a community where there's no church, start one. Start one of your bed. Read your Bible. Church in thy house four times. Churches didn't have property until the year 222 A.D. when a Roman emperor named Alexander Severus made an edict that churches could own a piece of property. For 222 years, the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ met in caves and barns and cellars and forests and attics and jail cells, and to turn the world upside down for Christ. That's what they're doing in Russia today. So you folks with that excuse, God will bless you. I'll tell you, God honors obedience to these things. He'll honor obedience. You don't have to have a theological professor with a Ph.D. and a B.O. and all the rest of it. Honor God. Amen, brother. Obey the Word. Yeah, right? All right, someone else, please. Let's hurry. Someone else. Please. It's drawing membership. Now, the first report I had that the Salvation Army had removed themselves completely, and then I received a report from a fellow who keeps up with these things, and the second report was that now this may be speaking under correction, and I'm interested in help from anybody in the world in the Salvation Army who knows that the Salvation Army did not actually withdraw membership from it, but they're just withdrawing all activities, all support, and they're going to stand back and look at the monster and see if its fangs get any shorter and if the blood gets off of it any more, which of course it won't. All you Sallys here tonight, you're wasting your time. They're not going to change. And the only thing you can do is kiss them goodbye forever. See? Forever. Get out of them. Brother, I do not know of a group in the last 16 months that has withdrawn membership-wise out of it and given the reasons why. I do not know of a group. There's always a lot of rustle in denominations, or some denominations that may have a streak of conservatism here, a streak of conservatism there. There's time by time there's a little rumble that some of the conservative church members say, look, I'm sick of this. And when the denominational hierarchy gets together, they'll have dialogue, you know, all these nice little words, dialogue over it. They'll come back and tell their people, well, we've had dialogue and we're examining this, that, and the other. And there are little rumbles like this, or rustles in the mulberry trees, we might say, you understand that better, that occur. But I don't know any of these that have fallen out to these groups saying, goodbye, we're through with you. I don't know where it's happened. And I'll let you in on a little clue. The denomination is not going to get out of it. I'm just going to tell you, and you put it down in your Bible, and I'll soon be dead, won't be around, I'll be with Jesus, and that's where I want to be anyhow. And I'm going to tell you that the denominations are not going to get out of it, because the denominational leadership is going to keep the denominations in it. And the only way you can ever get out of it is to kiss them goodbye, because they won't get out of it. Now, you remember you've been told that. And you can argue, well, I'm standing there to get them out of it. Brother, you're wasting your time. You'll have a long beard and great-great-grandchildren. It'll be worse than what it is now. They won't get out of it. History is too clear on it. All right, let's have one or two more, and then we'll quit. And on over to Adam Weishaupt and his Bavarian Illuminati and the Lodge Theodore of Goodfellow and all this. It's a long historical question. The Illuminati doctrine is probably seen today in the Council of Foreign Relations, the Round Table, and all the Golden Circle and these other groups. And it's true that they're pouring large amounts of financial and other support into communist countries. Now, I want to make a correction here. You people who say they're pouring it all, you don't know what you're talking about. They're not pouring it all. They're pouring great sums of it, large amounts of it, but others are also sharing with them. Maybe your church is sharing with them. It's worth thinking about, isn't it? We've written a track on that, Mr. West, called Communism's Biggest Supporters. And it deals, in where you don't have to read 40 books, you know, Gary Allen's book and Skousen's books, and they're great ones too. We've written a little pamphlet that's 1, 2, 3, 4 pages back in front. Mr. Hunter's going to reproduce it. Called Communism's Biggest Supporters. It gives you a condensed version of it. And I'll say, yes, this is going on. But they're not supporting all of it, of course. All right, somebody else now. That's a very pertinent question. That's a good question to ask.
This fellow's asking, is the Australian Council of Churches, under the authority, we'll say, subjected to, more or less, to the World Council of Churches? And of course they are. Now, I know they deny that. You say, well, prove it. Well, here's how to prove it. Trial and test. Which order everything that's published in English by the World Council of Churches. 3 years ago, they were publishing 288 things in English during 65 days that year. Order the publications that the World Council of Churches puts out. And then order all the publications the Australian Council puts out. And then read them side by side. And brother, you'll have to be blind, drunk, on dope, or just plain crazy not to see that the Australian Council of Churches, they're using terms, they're using identifications, they're using programs, they're using adjectives, they're using organizational title names. They're using exactly the same ecumenical jargon that the World Council of Churches is using. This came up in South Africa with our South African Council of Churches, and we gave the evidence to them, and they shut up. They had no answer, because it's so clear. Get the material that the WCC puts out, and get the material that the Australian Council puts out, and read them side by side, and you'll see who's borrowing whitewash from who. It's obvious. Let's have one more, shall we? Speak on them. I wish I could. Now, when I was here, they were on the nose, as they used to say up in Gladstone. When I was here, now, I'm sure they haven't got off the nose yet. I hope maybe they've all got saved and preaching the gospel and winning souls. If they have, God bless them. That's great. I'll go preach for them. And so I have no solid documentation on that. So I know that 9 years ago that, way out somewhere. Yes, please? Over any of my views regarding the Australian government that asked this? I was not aware of that. I do know that the group that I was associated with, regularly we sent out photographs like this and documentations. We sent them to conservative politicians. We sent them to Australia. We sent them to England. Oh boy, you know. We sent them to England. We sent them to America. We sent them to Ireland. We sent them everywhere. But of course you never get an acknowledgement. So the documentation was sent, and regularly we sent it to Washington. And from Washington, I think maybe we got one acknowledgement of it. So what it does, you know, how far it goes, I don't know. I wish I could say yes, and opinion had been turned, and now they were through with it, but I'm sorry, I cannot say that. All right, we'll have one more question, and then we'll be dismissed tonight. Papal Church are part of the World Council of Churches. No, they are not in membership with the World Council of Churches, but they're sort of winking at one another, you know? Whistling at one another right now. Just like that. Or I think you've put a number of questions in there. Let's see. First of all, I read the statement that he made, but it's true that such communist bishops as Bishop Camara, or Camara, the Red Camara they call him in South America, he tells the Pope to go jump. And he does his thing. That's right. He does his thing, and he turns countries in South America upside down, and he was involved in the attempted overthrow of Somoza in Nicaragua, and Stern, he runs over and drinks wine, smokes cigars with Castro regularly. And Central America and South America is filled with this influence. France is filled with this influence. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you're giving us an interpretation of a text there in Matthew 16. I do not believe that's interpreted the Roman Catholic Church. You have that right. I think the church consists of everybody that's been born again by the Holy Spirit of God, washed in the blood of Jesus. I believe there are some Roman Catholics like this, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian like this. And it's wrong, it's anti-biblical, it's incorrect to try to say the Roman Catholic Church is the church and nobody else is the church. Or it's wrong for me to say the Baptist Church is the church and nobody else is in the church unless they're Baptist. The church consists of every person who's been saved. If the Catholic's been saved, he's in the church. If he's not, he's lost. The church consists of Baptists. If they've been saved, they're in the true church, the Soma Christo, the body of Christ. If they're not saved, they're not in the church of Jesus Christ. And the text there you quoted where Jesus told Peter, I'll give you the keys. If you look in the next chapter, Jesus said he'd give keys to all the other 11 disciples too. So Peter didn't only have the keys, all 12 of them have keys. And the keys, of course, are the gospel of Jesus Christ. When men preach it, people believe it and they're converted. Someone else, please. Holy Father doesn't have the keys. Holy Jesus has the keys. All right, let's have your question here, sis. Amen. That's a good note to close on. The world's in the mess it's in because the church is in the mess it's in. We're not where we should be. We're not doing what we should do. It all goes back to this book right here. Check it out with this book. It all goes back to that. I think we must quit there. I've appreciated the invitation, Pastor Douglas, that has been given to come here and speak. And I hope this has been a blessing. And I want to conclude with this note. I don't want you to remember me or read these things that I've written as a great fellow that's all against the communists, and I've got the goods on the communists, and I'm chasing the communists down the road, because I'm not. Several times they've chased me down the road. I don't want you to think that, because that's not what I'm after. I want you to remember me as a man who has told you that unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. And the only way you can be born again is for you to realize that you are a lost sinner. And God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the sins that we should have died for, but Christ loved us so much He died for them. And if we'll stop somewhere in life's busy, mad rush, and by simple faith repent toward God and put faith in Jesus Christ alone, God will put that down as our conversion. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." And verse 12 says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that has not the Son has not life." Now, I'm glad I'm in my church. I appreciate my church. But I want to tell you what. I love the Lord Jesus. Bless His holy name. He's my Savior. His blood cleanses from all sin. And I suggest you go that way.